Hey!
Do we need to redo that? Because she was talking.
Sorry.
I think you were okay.
I thought we were making a cut there because Will was like, we'd be fantastic.
Well, I thought it was just part of the thing.
Right. I mean, I was kind of going with it, which is fine.
I was just still laughing over it.
We can trim out the...
We'd be fantastic.
I think it's fine for Katie to make fun
I'm
of me
sorry.
On the podcast.
I'm so sorry, Ben.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Katie Pills.
And Ryan Pills.
In the house!
Oh, man. So, in real life time for you, Tantrum Con, that's what it's called, just happened this past weekend.
It was amazing.
We are recording this in advance, obviously, so we're not quite as pumped and adrenaline-filled as we will be in real life on Monday. But we're obviously very excited about that, and I'm sure we'll talk about it some during the show. But today we've got some interviews lined up. We all just got done playing a bunch of games and other things. So what did you guys just finish playing?
We played two games of Tiny Towns.
Yes.
One which, a super quick game.
Well, one game where none of us knew the real rules.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then another game that we actually knew what we were doing.
That's right.
Except for Will.
Actually,
except
I
only
Will.
Didn't know one rule.
Technically,
but
I knew the rules because I read the end.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what?
But that was like midway through the game.
That's true.
It was like the second to last turn.
I'm like, Sarah, if you end it, then everyone gets negative points.
And I was like, what? I thought it was going to go for at least 10 more turns.
Yeah. Yep. Everybody was caught off guard.
So I went ahead and ended it early.
And I think you won.
And I still won. I had enough positive.
One by 1 point.
To outweigh my negative.
Yeah.
I tried the same technique in the second game, thinking that you only got negative points for empty spaces on your board.
Not spaces
realizing
with resources.
That all your resources got wiped out before you did it.
I will say our scores for that second game were super close. I think it was like 15, 15, 14, 13.
Right,
yes.
And I still claimed 15.
Yeah, Sarah and I tied at 15, and then we tied again at the tiebreaker. And then we tied again at another
tiebreaker.
And the third
tiebreaker. And then the third tiebreaker, I finally got it.
By one.
By one.
By one house, right?
Yes.
Crazy.
It was.
Katie and I also played The Wildlands by Osprey Games.
Ooh, it looked cool.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I thought it was going to be a lot more complicated than it was, but once we got into it, it was pretty good.
Ryan thought it wasn't complicated. I did.
She didn't read all the rules.
I didn't read all the rules, but I also there's
Farron
so many.
Was being real distracting.
Okay. There were a lot of options of ways you could use your cards, and I was just having such a hard time contemplating how I was going to use my cards, because I could use them a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And you can use them for attacking, for moving, for defending, for interrupting another player's turn.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just like,
this
I don't
is another
know.
One of those cases where the symbology seems like so straightforward to me, but for Katie it's just like too many choices.
It was.
So like for me it's either you either move, you use the general action, or you if your character has a special flag, you get to do that. So really, I don't feel like it's that many choices, but each card, only certain characters can do some of the actions, so there is that to that can be kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you're moving around this map and either attacking other people and collecting their corpse, or collecting crystal shards that are out. And the first person to a combined 5 of shards and bodies wins the game.
I don't think Farron liked that very much.
A collection of 5 shards or 5 bodies? Or
all together. So you could have 2 shards and
3
enemies.
So it was a lot closer than I thought.
Yeah.
I thought I had to wipe
close.
You totally out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had 2 shards. I had 2 shards and 1 body.
He deceived
you.
And he had all 5 shards.
If you play with multiple players, whoever Once one person's eliminated, whoever has the most points wins. You might only have three, but if you get somebody else eliminated, then you still win. Cool. And I do think this is going to be a game that plays better with more than just the two of us.
Oh, yeah. It could have gotten crazy with more people in there.
Was it 2-4, 2-5?
Because you can... What's interesting...
It's 2-4.
Is it has a little bit of a, like you have a kind of a secret mechanic where you place characters on the board in a designated spot because all the spots are numbered. You have face down on a card the spot that you've chosen to have that player into the board.
Yeah.
So nobody sees them. So they can ambush.
There's a little pre-programming.
Pre-programming.
So this is where the two players is going to play a lot different than others because you start with 10 spaces on the board. You pick 5 for your characters and they're hidden. So nobody knows where those 5 spaces are. And then you pick 5 to hand to the person to your left. And that's where their crystal shards go. So with 2 players, you know exactly where theirs are going.
Whereas
and they know
4
exactly
players,
where
you have no clue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could set up, like I set it up where I put 2 of his shards together, but then I had 2 of my people, you know, watching the only, you know, 2 ways to get to those shards.
Okay. Yeah, I tried to set up ambushes where I was sandwiching all the shards together, and then I put a shard, like, way off on the edge corner somewhere, so that was hard to get
to. So it was kind of interesting. I've not had a game where you set the board up like that with some...
Were you guys
know,
playing with an expansion
places.
As well?
There is an expansion, but we wanted to play the base game first, so we had a baseline to judge by.
Did you look at it at all? What was the cool big purple thing? Was that a shard?
The big purple thing is just
the
active player token.
Yeah. Active player token.
The expansion adds a faction that you can replace one of the other factions with, so it's still just 4 players. But there's more flexibility, but there's trade-offs. So, like, more of their characters can use more of their cards. You don't have to wait for specific cards to show up as much, but you need more cards to do some of the actions.
Interesting.
And then there's an alternative way to play where it's the expansion is the Unquiet Dead. So they're zombies and such.
And they're loud.
You could play a version where with the normal factions where if someone gets eliminated, they replace their piece with a zombie.
Oh, that's cool.
And then anybody who's been eliminated can move that zombie in place of their corpse.
Scary.
Melissa and I played 3 of the new Unlock games.
3?
Called the Exotic Adventures.
Very nice.
All right, we're going to talk about, real quick, the 3 names, and you tell me what you think about each one, all right?
Okay.
First one is called The Night of the Boogeyman.
Sounds scary.
Is this about, like, boogie dancing, or, like...
Or the boogeyman. Is
it? All right. Under Melissa, the second one is...
Oh, no.
Uh-huh, what is it?
Scheherazade's
Last
Tale.
Oh, she got it.
She did it. Melissa usually cannot say the word Scheherazade.
Just the mental block.
Scheherazade's Last Tale.
And
we almost named Farron that.
No,
was
that was not. No.
Scheherazade Tales. It's a good ring to it.
And the theme for that is?
Egyptian-y, Pharaoh-y stuff. I don't know.
Nope.
Storytelling.
I don't know a Scheherazade at all, so
She's like the 40 nights or
Arabian
Nights.
Very good.
Is that what I meant?
Pharaoh and Arabia are 2 different.
I know. I was gonna say it sounds Middle Eastern. That's all I got.
And then the third one was called Challenger's
Expedition.
Expedition. What do you think the theme for that
Space.
One is?
That would be my guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
What
do you think, sir?
The Challenger. Program.
That's the first thing that comes to mind, but...
Okay. Exotic Adventures. So Scheherazade's very exotic, right?
Yeah.
With the Arabian Night theme. Boogeyman, whatever. Sort of exotic.
It was like child nightmares,
right?
Basically.
But Challenger, right? Totally not anything you just said.
But
well, we only guessed space. Let me guess one more thing before you go. Challenger.
What was the second word?
Expedition. Is it like... Ancient India.
Okay.
Oh, Challenger Expedition. Knights, medieval knights.
Ooh, you guys got all good guesses and they were all wrong.
Oh, okay. What is it?
Dinosaur theme.
What?
It's like this lost world of dinosaurs.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Challenging
it, that's the guy's name. Challenger.
Yeah. Oh, good grief.
Oh, red herring.
Red herring. Yeah. Anyway, that was the most difficult of the three.
Sounds like.
And every series has a easy, medium, and a hard, which is kind of cool. So they have like four series out now, or four different series out. This Exotic Adventures has one is the Boogeyman, two is the Scheherazades, and then the third and the difficulty is the dinosaur theme. I would say, and that was the most adventuresome one as well. So it felt really like you're on an adventure. But I actually enjoy Scheherazade.
Did you run from dinosaurs?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Were you eaten by raptors?
I can't tell you all the things.
Oh my goodness.
He was!
Because it's an unlock and I can't spoil things.
Did you get to ride on the talons of a raptor?
No. Listen, do you want to talk about a little bit about the app with that last one?
Yeah, the dinosaur one really pushed the app to places where we hadn't seen it before. Unlock uses an app, and a lot of the game was taking a place in that app, and keeping track of time and doing other things. We don't want to get too spoilery,
yeah.
But
off record, I'm sorry, when we turn this off, I'll tell you about one of the things that was crazy.
Wait a minute.
Unless you all want to play it sometime.
Oh,
you might
want
to play it.
Okay, I'll let you play it.
We're going to play it.
You can tell me.
Dinosaurs? We're totally doing that.
Okay.
But yeah, I would say that this newest series really pushed the creativity and even had some physical elements in some of the boxes. So not just cards.
Yep.
Kevin and I have a review video that's actually on YouTube now.
That's spoiler-free?
Yep, spoiler-free.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right, well, before we get any further into this episode, let's go ahead and give a shout-out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Laughing Rogue Games. Their game, Gods of Metal, is on Kickstarter now. It's a cooperative game for 1 to 4 players where you and your band use the power of metal to defend all of reality from the forces of darkness.
Cool. Well, we talked about them last week. What are we going to jump into next, Will?
Next, I want to talk about Kickstarters. Let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode, we'll be talking about 6 games coming to Kickstarter the week of February 18th, 2019. Start us off, Kevin.
On February 18th, IDW Games will be launching Wayward, a game for 1 to 5 players that takes about an hour to play. It's a fully co-op board game designed by John Gilmore. It is also based off of a popular comic book series called Wayward. Sorry. Basically, the theme or the what it's all about, the comic series is all about, is about teenagers imbued with supernatural powers, and they're trying to defend the world from yokai, Japanese mythological creatures and spirits. The game right now comes with 5 different scenarios, and I believe in the Kickstarter, there's a Kickstarter exclusive for a 6th scenario. They have 5 or 6 different characters already that'll be on in the retail game, and there's also, I think, the 6th character is also a Kickstarter exclusive. In the game, you're going to be battling these yokai in different locations. You do that by, actually, you get to spend energy on your turn, and the amount of energy you spend then becomes your attack power. Mm-hmm. That attack power then goes against the yokai that you choose to fight on that turn. The yokai roll dice. Technically, you roll the dice for the yokai.
Oh, okay.
And then hopefully your attack power is greater than the yokai power. And if it's not, then you get damage and all kind of stuff. But
is it asymmetrical play?
Everyone has their own asymmetrical powers. Their board is kind of cool. That's one of the cool things in the game, is how you can upgrade your character. There's 3 different, what'd you call it, Melissa? 3 different
tracks
that you as a character can choose to get more energy, to upgrade your stats and things like that. But it's not like I defeat a yokai and I get a boost of power that I can increase my stats. Basically, you get so many upgrade points per yokai that you're defeated, mm-hmm. that you defeat, and then you get to take 1 upgrade point, and then you actually pass this upgrade counter around the table, and everyone basically is upgrading their character simultaneously. So basically, okay. If I killed a guy and I get 4 upgrade points and I get one, Melissa gets one, Katie gets one, then Ryan gets an upgrade point. So everyone is rising in their power
at the same time.
And it's a cooperative game.
Fully cooperative.
Fully co-op. So it doesn't feel like someone's overpowered and everyone else is weak because they keep getting, keep defeating the yokai. So this is pretty, really cool. I think John Gilmore really hit a good one.
That would save some of the issues that I have with some co-op games where I run a monster down, and then Ryan swoops in and kills him off for the final point, then gets all the glory for it.
I hate when he does that.
So. I know.
Yeah, there's other things in the game. There's this weave board that you're trying to make sure it doesn't unweave the whole thing, and then if that happens, then I think you lose the game. For different scenarios, you have different objectives in the different scenarios, like killing bad guys and completing objectives and things. So, anyway, yeah, check out Wayward from IDW Games, coming to Kickstarter on February 18th, and I have a preview video for this as well. Melissa.
On February 19th, Winterborn is coming from Talon Strike Studios. This is designed by Brian Suri, and he did Coldwater Crown, some people might be familiar with.
It's a cool one.
This is kind of set in a Viking setting town, and it uses some hand management. And the cards you have are multi-use. You can use them to either move one of your three characters. You have a Viking warrior, a kind of shaman, magic man. And then you have an explorer, which is represented by a boat. And they each have different powers. And so you're going to use your cards to either move specific characters or to get resources that you need, and then depending on where your characters land, you can take specific actions. And Kevin and I have played this. Kevin has a video of it. You're trying to conquer certain areas, you're trying to get specific cards into your deck for a set collection aspect, and you can only have a certain number of cards, so there's really some interesting choices about which cards do I play, do I keep any, do I discard my hand and draw back up. And with the set collection aspect, there may be a card that has really great power, but you already have one of those, so maybe you decide to get one of the different types of cards, a treasure or provisions, instead, so you can get those points for the set collection. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah,
Kevin?
Just there's many different ways of getting points in the game. I think that's one of the strong points in the game, the multiple paths to victory, which I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not really any major player interaction in it because you each have your own little board.
The only thing is by maybe taking cards that someone else might want. It is a sort of deck building game, so you know, like, I really want that card. But there's plenty of those types of cards out there.
Right. So. Mm-hmm. So that is Winterborn. It plays in about an hour to an hour and a half, and it is coming February 19th. Katie.
All right, so I'm taking a quick look at Chocolate Factory.
That sounds yummy.
By Alley Cat Games. It plays 1 to 5 players, although I'll admit I have not figured out how you play the single player. There has to be something that changes in the game.
Eat all the actual chocolate.
With Valentine's Day coming up, all the after Valentine's Day candy.
Sales.
You could play this with real candy. I'm just imagining that.
Yep.
But in this one, you are actually like a factory owner, and you are trying to make chocolate to fulfill orders that are asked for by wealthy clients or chocolate shops. So you're trying to fulfill certain orders, but you have to go all the way down to, like, providing coal for your machines in your factories, hiring workers, converting beans into chocolate, and then upgrading that into specialty types of chocolate. And there seems to be a really strong timing mechanic with this.
Mm-hmm.
In the conveyor belt that's on there that moves, and I don't know that it literally moves. I've seen a little, you know, like, digital rendering of what the board's going to look like and stuff. It would be awesome if it actually had a moving conveyor belt,
with
but I don't
think
it does. Yes, a real moving conveyor belt with real chocolate.
Maybe that's the deluxe edition.
Ooh, yes.
Ultra deluxe.
Yes. Alley Cat Games, if you're listening, we need a deluxe edition. But anyway, so it's going to have a strong timing aspect because there are certain things that you have to get done at the beginning of the conveyor belt and then at the end to be tracking them out to the right clients at the right times. Ooh. So if you really enjoy like those strong timing elements to games, I would check out Chocolate Factory. Ryan.
We've already talked about this game once before on the podcast. Dan brought it up. But coming February 19th is That's a Wrap by designer Adam Sadiq.
Ba-dum-tch.
Yep. I'll just review for those of you who missed that previous episode. That's a Wrap is a game about being a director of a movie. And you, over the course of four rounds, will play a genre card and then bid with your other directors over the best script and the best actors to put in your movie. And then once you've picked those three things, you get to play studio cards, which are kind of like wild elements to get additional points, or you play them on your opponents to make their movie a worse movie. Mm-hmm. And once you've played all your cards, you go and send your movie to the theater and see how much money it makes. And then after that, you take it to the Oscars and see how many awards it can win. And whoever wins the most Oscars by the end of four rounds wins the game. If you find this interesting, definitely check it out. February 19th, That's a Wrap. We also have a preview and a playthrough video that you can check out for more information. Will, what else do you got?
So I'm looking at the game Consumption, Food and Choices. And first off,
food-themed
right?
things.
Yeah, and this wouldn't normally be up my alley, but as I looked more into this game, it gets more and more interesting. It's for 1 to 4 players. It takes an hour to 2 hours. It's from designer Karen Nabla, and we're going to actually interview her in just a little bit, so we'll get even more information on this. But Colossal Games is bringing it to Kickstarter, I think February 21st, and I looked at the date and tried to guess it, and I was wrong. Tuesday? Is it a Tuesday? Kevin's just giving me hand motions. I don't even get acknowledged as...
This is a Wednesday.
February 23rd? No, it's a W. Okay.
20th.
Food and Consumption is a...
Wednesday. Sorry. Just derail Will.
Nobody can see what's Kevin's
21st.
You have the 21st. According to the chart, who knows if it's really not?
Wednesday the 21st.
I'm sorry, I was thinking of the other one.
Yay!
Oh. Thursday the
21st? Thursday the 21st. I'm so sorry.
So we need a T, Kevin, and not a W then.
You mean Will was right?
What?
I can't even inhale that deep.
Will was right.
Thank you, Kevin.
Mic drop.
That was a first. Yeah, exactly. And check it out.
I was actually thinking you were
Sarah, what game are you looking at?
Well, let's hear more about Consumption.
Okay, so, cool... In that, this game is a Euro-style game. It sounds, and even from the initial, like, box cover look, it doesn't look, I'll be honest, that interesting. But when you start getting into it, this game has got a lot of stuff going on. First off, the whole idea for the game is that you are trying to take care of your body. And you do that in all kinds of ways. Yeah. So you have a diet, which makes perfect sense. So that kind of determines what things are going to score for
does
you in the game.
Does each person get a different... diet that
yes,
trying to
everybody gets
to?
Their own, and that's basically your starter board.
Is the South Beach diet a thing?
Probably.
Atkins
I don't know. I didn't look at the titles on them. But in the game, you can like go to the store and buy new groceries, you can make recipes and food, and then one of the things that I find interesting is that you can just do activities. So you can like play badminton or basketball or go swimming, and each of those requires certain, not ingredients, but like, I guess it's ingredients, nutrients or whatever.
Calories?
To be able to do them? Yeah, so you burn those in order to get victory points. And the art for this game is actually really interesting. Like, I felt like it was going to be kind of boring. Like, what, you know, I was imagining in my head before looking at it, like, does someone have like a shopping list? Like, what would the cards look like? But they actually are really nicely illustrated. They got some really interesting style choices. Like, these, I don't know if these are restaurants or what I'm looking at right here, but like, pretty cool outlines of cards and ingredients and nice iconography. So,
place into your body.
Right?
Banana nut smoothie, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Give me some bread, olives, and milk. No, that's not the smoothie.
I think that was a shopping list.
Oh, okay. So anyway, pretty cool game overall. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to talk about it in a little bit more when we get to the interview. But check that one out. Consumption, Food, and Choices, coming February 21st, which is a Thursday.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird. All right, Sarah, what do you got?
That was from Colossal Games.
Correct.
Okay.
I did say that. I've been correct all night tonight. What?
And now the game that's coming on Wednesday.
Okay, yes, what's that one?
Is Coloma.
Coloma.
This is from designer Johnny Pack. He is re-implementing an older game that he designed a few years ago, 2015.
And we had him on the show, too. What? Crazy interview night. Keep going.
She was giving you some crazy eyes, like, what are you even talking about, Will?
This is just cut over everybody else episode with correct information.
That's right. All right. This Coloma is our new artwork is done by the Miko, and Johnny Pack has kind of retooled it. He redid the cards that had a lot of text and changed things to have more iconography. Before I say anything more about Coloma, why don't we just talk to the designer himself? Let's welcome our next house guest, Johnny Pack.
Hey! Hi, how you doing?
We're doing really good. How are you tonight?
Good, good, good.
Awesome. Sounds like you might have some exciting stuff coming up this week.
Yeah, it's been a whole bunch of work going on right now, working on two games. I'm working on Coloma with Final Frontier Games, and I'm also in the midst of working on Sierra West with Borden Dice. So it's been busy days, for sure, and busy nights.
One of those where you've got the day job and the design thing, or are you doing full-time?
I'm still doing kind of half and half. I have a bunch of different part-time jobs. I teach some music. I work at a toy and game store part-time, and I help out on a couple other projects. And then at night, actually, is when I do a lot of the game stuff, because they're 8 or 9 hours ahead of me over there. So it's best to do all of our meetups and discussions at that point.
Well, cool. We understand that boat. Tell us a little bit about Coloma.
So Coloma is it's a Wild West theme game. So the town of Coloma is actually about 8 miles away from me here in Northern California. So it was the town that the gold rush started in. So basically in 1848, somebody discovered, some gold sparkling in the waters down there. And they were like, what's that? And they're like, no way. And it was gold. And they tried to keep it a secret. And word spread. And by 1849, everybody knows, like the 49ers, that's the big gold rush. Mass migration to California, boom towns. And Coloma was kind of one of the first boom towns of that magnitude. But then after the gold ran out, Coloma's, now just a very small community again. So it's not like, didn't get established like Sacramento or someplace like that.
Gotcha. So the game takes place during the heat of the rush?
Yeah. So that's basically it. So the game kind of starts off right around 1848. Like your first card is built into your mat is Sutter's Mill. And that's the location where they discovered the gold there. And so as you build out your tableau, you're adding more infrastructure and buildings around that. So it kind of follows the loosely the story of the development of the town of Coloma.
So in general, worker placement, tell us about the mechanics and what's that cool wheel thing going on?
So the cool wheel thing is kind of, that's kind of the heart and soul of the thing. So it's, it's got the Euro thing where your resource management, tableau building, engine building, multiple paths, victory, a little bit of point salad, but, leans heavy into building stuff. What the circle thing is that's there's five different actions you can choose from on your turn. It's a simultaneous action selection game where everybody's going to pick out one of these actions and they're numbered. So I'm going to be sitting here going, okay, I want to go to action number 5, which would be kind of like place workers and stuff like that. And then everybody decide, then they reveal, and we all go to the given wedges of that wheel with your pioneer, which is the really cool little meeples that you'll see. And so at that point, we'll make an assessment. We'll see if one of those sites on that wheel has more pioneers than any other site, it goes bust. So what you're really trying to do is do the action you want to do, but don't do it at the exact same time as everybody else wants to do it. So you're trying to get in that mind game. And so from there, those actions would be resolved. So the site with the most would, they still get to do their action. They don't get the bonus. So let's think like, Puerto Rico or something, where if you're the person who picks a role, you get a bonus. In this case, you always get the bonus unless you don't. In this case, that would be everybody that had the group think to go to the same spot.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an inversion on that. So that's kind of the gist of it. And the types of actions you'd be performing are things like, obviously, building your town. So you're going to be adding cards in front of you. You're going to be going around a little map to help recruit your workers, which are going to help you build the town, adding little camps to the map, that kind of thing. So you're just, you're looking at the economics of what resources you have and what outlets you have and trying to time those to stagger with other players.
Cool. So that'll be on Kickstarter next week. Before we get any further into that, let's back up just a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your design journey, where this game idea came from, and then how you hooked up with Final Frontier Game.
Yeah. So so basically, I want to say in 2014, it was in a car drive with a bunch of designers staring into the middle distance, as I like to call it, and some idea comes in your head. And it's like, what if there's an action selection game that, if everybody did the same thing, they don't get as good of a payoff? And I'm kind of a fan of like game theory and behavioral economics. So that kind of tickled me. And I started thinking about, how to build an engine around that. And then, of course, I'm one of those designers that I love mechanics, but I also know that you really can't get that far until you integrate a theme into the experience. So I kind of got to a point and it was like, what am I going to do with this theme? What do I know about? What's cool to me? And I was with my friend and he's like, we're in the middle of gold country, you make it about this place. I'm like, oh, okay. Cause you just take it for granted that I'm, here in this area. And so I started researching it, getting into the historical facts and came up with what was actually the game Hangtown, which was a game I eventually kickstarted and did a little vanity run of, about 1,000 copies and got that out there, sold through it. And then I got this itch to see if I could make it language independent. Okay. Because I had a lot of text. There's a company from Europe that's like, hey, can we license that? And I'm like, oh, there's so much text. It'd be nightmarish to translate. So I was like, all right, let me think about this and see if I can translate things into icons. Cause I love Euro games. And I love the fact that you don't have to read a bunch of stuff upside down on the table. And as I got into it, it just became impossible. I was like, there's things that just don't translate into icons. So I started cutting stuff out and now we cut this out, let's add something. And it just started to turn into its own game. It was like, well, now that I'm at it, since I've got this thing torn apart, what else would be cool? And we're like, instead of end game scoring, let's do in game scoring. Let's make the actions different. Let's make every building different. All of a sudden, like the whole thing exploded into what is now Coloma. And once I had that kind of in a stable spot, I started bringing it to the convention circuits and doing all the protospiels and trying to refine it. And then it was Martin Poole on the Board Game Exposure, we're buddies, and he works with Final Frontier, and I guess they're in the market for a Western, and so we got on a group chat and just totally hit it off, and they actually were willing to do a print and play of the entire, game. It's got a lot of parts, and they did that over there in Macedonia, played it, about 3 days later, got back on there. I'm like, so what'd you think? And and the rest is going to be history, I guess.
Excellent. That's very cool.
So can you tell us some differences in the gameplay from the original Hangtown to now what is Coloma?
Yeah. So basically Hangtown, at the time I was totally okay with having the hour and a half, 2 hour experience, even though there's a lot of simultaneous selection and actions you can do at once, not a lot of downtime. It still is kind of a big 6 round game with a lot of stuff going on. And, I've kind of become of this frame of mind that in today's kind of crowded market, it's really nice if you can get that power hour game, which is kind of like the Euro-y thinky game that doesn't take more than an hour if you know what you're doing. And so that was a big part of it, is to try to cut it down. And even some things like the amount of worker placement that was in Hangtown is kind of excessive. This one is very, very light on the worker placement part. A lot of things, you'll play a card and it's like ready to go and you don't have to put a bunch of meeples on it. And there's some other little aspects of that just kind of cut any time sinks out of the whole process. So that's one of the biggest differences. And then overall, kind of like I said, like there's no card or action or anything that's exactly like Hangtown. And one notable thing is there is shootouts in both games, which is kind of like if you thought of Stone Age or a game like Agricola where you feed your meeples or peoples. This one, every 5 turns, everybody has to deal with the outlaws that are kind of on the outskirts of town. And it's, you know, mechanically similar to, you know, paying your dues to feed your people. In this case, you have to, send gunmen out, make sure all the stuff kind of holds up, make sure some of your guys don't go to the graveyard. And so that aspect in Hangtown is kind of this dice mechanic. There's mitigators and all that, but it was still dice driven. Mm-hmm. And this one, we wanted to get away from that and have no dice feature in the game whatsoever. And so that led to a system that was actually kind of inspired with when I was working. I showed it to the guys over at TMG. We're at BGGCon, I think 2017. Mm-hmm. And Andy and Seth, we were playing it, and we were kind of like, hey, wouldn't this be cool if it was like a kind of a, almost a semi-cooperative situation where the bad guys come, but we have to try to, you know, leverage our numbers against their numbers, but still have our individual incentives. So it kind of turned into that. So that's a very unique element in this game compared to the former one.
Very cool. So tell us just a little bit then about the Kickstarter, stretch goals and big plans and things like that. Where's that all landing on the table?
So basically with Final Frontier, if you've seen or played any of their games, they're just deluxe. That's all I can say about it. You know, and I started working with them. First thing I did is I was aware of their catalog, and I have friends that love their stuff. And so I called up my buddy. I was like, hey, I know you got all their stuff. Let's bust this out and check out, like, you know, Rise of Nobility. And mm-hmm. we went up there one night and just threw it on the table, and it was just like, oh my goodness, like look at all the thought that was put into all these parts and pieces and just the aesthetic and how it all tied together. And it was just this very rich experience. And we had a ton of fun playing it. And after that, I was like, whatever they're going to do with my silly prototype, they are going to make it big and beautiful. I know this. And so I was really excited to see that. And they kind of, you know, they kind of held back and waited, got some really cool artwork done, and then showed me like, kind of in a big blast the stuff that you see on Facebook. Ta-da. Right now. I was like, wow. So you can expect all that, like the really cool signature Final Frontier stuff. And then kind of like mm-hmm. their other campaigns, you'll expect, you know, some stuff to be upgraded, little pieces to be added. You know, so there's a bunch of little fun things kind of in the works, but I'm not sure exactly what I'm at the liberty to say right now.
Well, you better do air on the side of safety.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. That sounds exciting. We're pumped to see. We have really enjoyed all of Final Frontier's games, and this one will be, it looks like, another fantastic addition to their line. So that's exciting for us and for you and for them. So congratulations on that.
I think we're all excited. And you know, I do want to throw it out there that you know, the publisher has also been the designer of all their former titles, and so as we've gone into development on this, it's been really cool to not just work with a publisher, but work with a design team and developing team that's like that talented and sharp. And it's behind the scenes, it's been really cool. Like we'll come into like a little problem or something, we'll all sleep on it, and we'll all of a sudden, you know, message each other all at once with the same answer. So it's like,
oh, nice. Yeah,
so it's been a really that's great process.
Cool. That's awesome. Tell us where we can find a little bit more about you and about some of your games that are coming, so that our audience can keep tabs on you.
Okay, so I'm present on Facebook. Jonathan Pack Canton is my full name. So I'm there, do a lot of kind of business stuff on there. I also have a website for my design and development, which is www.johnnypack.com. So it's JONNYPAC.com. So that's one spot. So those would be the best. Email is johnnypack@gmail.com. So that's also easy to remember. And as far as that, my username is also that on BGG. So if you want to geek mail me there, or check out, you know, if you go to Coloma and then check out the other projects, you'll see like Gordon Dice's game Sierra West and the other stuff that I've been working on is all listed.
Excellent. That sounds really good. We will definitely check that stuff out. And best of luck on this campaign, man. Oh,
thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Very cool having Johnny on the show. I think the coolest thing about this is that if you're listening to the podcast this morning, tonight you can actually join us on YouTube. Is that where we're going to be coming?
Oh, yes.
For a live playthrough of Coloma.
And that's on Monday night.
Monday night, February 18th.
Right. You have to listen to this the moment it comes out, people. That's the only way any of this works. Yeah, join us tonight on YouTube. We've been doing a number of more live YouTube videos, and we love when you guys participate and ask questions and join in. So we'd be fantastic. Words are not coming well tonight. Yeah. We would be delighted if you would join us tonight, and we'll play through Coloma.
We'd be fantastic.
Let's jump into our next interview with Karen, who designed Consumption.
Hey! Hi! Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're really excited. It looks like you've got some exciting stuff on the horizon for Kickstarter. Why don't you jump in and give us a rundown?
Well, This is my first board game. It's called Consumption. I'm a registered dietitian and a pretty heavy board gamer.
Nice.
And I just had this idea that, you know, there's a lot of food games out there, but none that really kind of spoke to me. And one day I just drew out a game, and all of a sudden it turns out I was creating this thing that got its own life. And here we are, like, 4 years later.
Wow. So you got in contact with Colossal. How did you, how did that work out?
They actually found me, which was kind of interesting. I think there was a friend of a friend of a friend who was, you know, kind of mentioning it, and one knew the next person and vice versa. And next thing I know, I get a geek mail from Travis at Colossal. And okay. He said, hey, I heard about your game, kind of interested in it. Can you send me some information? And at the time, Rado had done a video for me. So I just sent him the video. And he said, we're really interested. Send me a prototype. So, it just kind of worked out. It fell into my lap pretty nicely.
So were you expecting to do your own publishing route? Or because you said it sounded like you had already started working on getting people to look at it, like content creators and things like that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so when it wasn't as ready it is now, but I did I think I shopped it around one time at Gen Con. I just wanted to see what feedback would be, so I took it to one of those speed dating events that they have mm-hmm. at Gen Con. Got a lot of good feedback, but most of the time it was, oh, we don't focus on this kind of game, right? We either want a shorter game or a silly game.
I gotcha.
So what had happened was... I guess word of mouth just kind of created this thing. So I really only really tried to send it out once. But one of the interesting things I found was that so many times I got feedback about, if this was only about zombies, you know, we'd be interested.
Right.
And, you know, if you could make it a little, and I thought, you know, I really want to stick to my guns. And that's one of the things I really appreciated about Colossal is that they got it, you know, like they really understood what I was trying to do with this game. And no, it's not about zombies, and that's okay.
Very cool. I like that you've gone in that direction. Tell us a little bit about the mechanics in the game and how those tie into the theme.
It's actually quite thematic, which that was really the focus, was making it thematic. But it's a worker placement game, so it's very Euro. You have four actions per round, and the idea about this game is that you are trying to increase the nutrients in your particular role player's body to make you the happiest.
Nice.
You're going to be going grocery shopping, which uses a little dice rolling. There's a set collection component because when you work out, right, sometimes we eat a little bit too much and we have to burn some calories, right? And so those are going to be set collection components for building different types of activities. It's a very Euro style, using very, I think, common mechanics, but putting it in a way together where the theme just really, really shines through.
Very cool. Have you been, like, it sounds like you've done plenty of play testing on it. Have you done a lot of that at conventions? What are some of your favorite conventions that you've gotten feedback from?
I do a lot of protospiels, really. And I think I'm very lucky because I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, where there's a very, very active designer population here. And so there are two or three different protospiels really in my immediate area. And I find that is really where I spend most of my time trying to play test and get, critical feedback. And then when I do take it to Gen Con or I do take it to KublaCon and just have gamers play it, mm-hmm. They're really kind of, you know, the final, oh, I'd really like it if it did this. But by the time it gets to that point, I think it's pretty, pretty solid.
4 years is a long time. That's awesome. A good amount of time to be play testing. How similar is it to what it was originally? How much has changed? What are some of the exciting, what are some of the pieces that you're excited about that have been added?
Four years is a long time. Obviously that's off and on, you know, I'll get frustrated with something and I won't look at it for 6 months. I think that happens to the best of us, right?
Yeah.
But it was, it's definitely a labor of love. And I think that's what allowed me to push through. Some of the interesting and fun things about the game are that it has a farmer's market in it. You can go shopping at the farmer's market, and it really kind of functions like a farmer's market that you would go to. There are stands that open and close throughout the day, and you can get various things from each of these places. The grocery shopping mechanic, I think, is really kind of unique, and I haven't really seen anything like that before, where you're rolling dice, and the dice are contributing to the allocation of where you can get food or how much money you're going to be spending for food. So that's been kind of a nice randomness, but it's you can work with it. You know, it's not, oh, this is what I get and I'm stuck with it.
Cool.
As I think, like most dice games, you need to be able to manipulate it, to do well.
Yeah.
When I initially heard about consumption, and I may have seen like a picture on Board Game Geek or something, I thought it was going to be like the small box game. And then I saw, I think it was Travis on social media, like had a prototype in his hand. I was like, that thing is huge. And then we just got a prototype of it in the mail. And I'm like, it's even bigger than I thought.
Is it really? I've never seen the actual box. I saw the same image that you did, and that was the first time I'd seen the box.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think it's not going to be that large when it's a finished product, but if you have opened it up, I think one of the things contributing to the size of the box is the player boards, where all of your food goes, kind of that represents your body and various things. So I'm sure that's what's contributing to at least the bigger dimension.
And not only that, what you're describing and what you've described to us already today is that this isn't just a filler type game. This is a Euro game that's very, has some meat to it. Sorry, the pun. I didn't mean that.
Good one.
Yes. Anyway.
It's a strategy game for sure.
Okay.
It takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours to play. There's a lot of different things that you're thinking about while you're playing. And one of the cool things that I think is really great about this game is that even when it is not your turn, you're always grinding and you're thinking about what you need to do and what the best choices are.
I love that.
Just like in life, right? There's so many things we can choose from. How do you make the best choice?
Yeah. Anytime you can avoid downtime is fantastic. That's I'm always looking for that when I play a game. Tell us a little bit about your Kickstarter campaign date and plans for that. How much are you involved in that? Give us an idea of what people can be expecting.
Well, it's going to be February 21st of this year. So just a couple of weeks away, or maybe a week away.
Time travels always fun.
And I've had a lot of input. That's one of the great things I think I've really appreciated about Colossal Games is that they've allowed me to be a part of this. And, you know, they listen to what I say and they want my game to be my game. So I've had a lot of ability to contribute thoughts and ideas and, you know, discuss everything as we move through. And I think that's just been an amazing asset that I've been able to do that.
Cool. That's a good testimony to them because they run a lot of Kickstarter campaigns, and that I think is one of their strengths, being able to let the creators really shine.
Yeah. I mean, they're just, it's been amazing. They're just terrific. I can't say how pleased I am. It's just, they're tremendous. So it's going to be February 21st. If you go to consumptionboardgame.com, you can get hooked up to subscribe to, you know, the game on BGG. I'm on social media as well, so I can leave those bits with you. But it's going to be, I believe, a base game where you obviously get all the components. And then there, I believe, and I'm not sure that this has been confirmed, but I think that they're going to go with like a mini expansion that's going to have a whole bunch of different variations. If it all goes as planned, I have some food allergies that you'll be able to play with, which is really fun. It really does kind of mimic, oh, I can't have that. How do I get around it?
Okay. Remind us what the player count is.
It's 1 to 4. So there's a solo as well. And the solo, you're doing a cleanse. So you want to end up with nothing in your body except water at the end of the game.
Nice. I love it.
So that's really fun. It's going to be very exciting. I'm thrilled.
It sounds like you have a very closely theme related to the game, which I'm very excited about. And great player count. You said it plays in about an hour and a half, you said?
An hour and a half to 2 hours. If you have a full complement, if you have four players and they know the game, about 2 hours.
Okay, cool. Anything else about the game you want to share with our audience before we say goodbye?
I think it's just a blast to play. Even though, you know, you think you're going to learn something and it's an educational game, it's really not. I mean, it's a fun game. You're going to be fully engaged. You are going to be, if you want to learn a little bit about food, you can. But it's really about having fun, being the happiest by fulfilling your body's needs. I've gotten amazing feedback from everybody who's played it.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Karen. That sounds exciting. Best of luck on your Kickstarter. I know that Colossal runs solid campaigns, so I'm sure you are in good hands. But we will be excited to see this out, and we thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Bye. Very nice having Karen on the show. Very interested in learning more and seeing consumption on Kickstarter. Seems like the coolest food game I've seen in a while.
What about Food Fight?
Chocolate Factory?
I don't know.
I'm not a chocolate fan, although I can see why chocolate would be endearing to most people, but pretty cool looking. We've got one more thing we need to talk about, because this is the new thing, right? Yes. On every episode, Kevin?
I promise on every episode that I would reveal a new promo card or something for our Kickstarter campaign that is launching April 2nd. 2019.
Cool.
So it's coming up sooner than we want. No,
can't get here soon enough. That's We're right. just not ready yet.
So in conjunction with Coloma and Final Frontier Games, they are creating a Coloma promo card for Tantrum House.
Cool.
So it'll be something new and exciting. I haven't seen it yet. We have lots of cool things, but this is going to be a pretty cool promo card.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Those guys put together really great stuff, and it'll be cool to be a part of their game. So we don't have any TantrumCon stuff to talk about this episode, other than just how much fun we probably are going to have had.
Yep, and everyone should come next year.
Yeah, absolutely. People should be, we are going to be putting together a video just to kind of recap everything, so that'll be fun. I'm most excited about seeing our slow motion table flipping championship tournament action, so be looking for that video. I don't know when that'll be out, but sometime soon it'll be out for sure. And then, yeah, keep an eye out for our Kickstarter coming soon. We'll probably be talking about that for the next couple weeks, but have some cool plans that we're putting together for that. Have we talked about our secret quest card things?
No, let's do that next week.
Okay, now you're left handed. All right. Cool. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and we will catch you all next time.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss?
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The Toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.